The series this month has been on new beginnings and second chances. New beginnings and second chances. And tonight's message is the children of Israel going from wilderness to promise. Wilderness to promise. And the text that they gave me was Joshua chapters 2 and 3. I know that's a lot of scripture, but we're going to begin at Joshua chapter 1 and read verses 1 through 4. Joshua 1, verses 1 through 4. The children of Israel going from wilderness to promise. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the great sea on the west. Verse 5. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. So the children of Israel, here in Joshua, are about to step into this promised land that God tells Joshua about in Joshua 1, verses 1 through 4. Now in Joshua 2, to sum it up, Joshua sent out spies to scope out the promised land. And in Joshua 2:24, they said to Joshua, the Lord has surely given the whole land into our hands. All the people are melting in fear because of us. And in Joshua chapter 3, this younger generation finally steps into the promised land. Now, the older generation of Israelites were not able to enter the promised land because of unbelief and disobedience to God. So they ended up wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. But this younger generation, the children of the older generation, were about to step into the promised land under the leadership of Joshua. And that's what's going on in these first few chapters. What's the application for us today? How does it apply to us today, friends? Friends, you may be in some type of wilderness wandering in your life tonight. You may be wandering in the wilderness called addiction. But God wants you to step into the promised land called victory over the addiction. You may be wandering in the wilderness of physical sickness. God wants you to step into the promised land of healing for your body. You may be wandering in the wilderness of a broken relationship tonight. God is wanting you to step into the promised land of what? Of reconciled relationship with that person. You may be wandering in the wilderness of depression in your emotions. God is wanting you tonight to step into the promised land of what? Of His joy and comfort. God has got something wonderful in store for your life. He's got a miracle in store for you. He wants you to step into the promised land of His abundance and provision. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Just like the children of Israel were about to step into the promised land that God had for them, God today, thousands of years later, is wanting us to step into the promised land that He has for you and for me. Let's read Joshua chapter 3. If you don't have a Bible, I'll read it. Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests, who are Levites carrying it, here's a key, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 1,000 yards between you and the ark. Do not go near it. Verse 5 of Joshua 3. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Joshua said to the priests, take up the ark of the covenant and pass on ahead of the people. So they took it up and went ahead of them. And the Lord said to Joshua, today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel so that they may know that I am with you as I was with Moses. Tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan's waters, go and stand in the river. Verse 9, Joshua said to the Israelites, come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you will know that the living God is among you, and that he will certainly drive out before you the Canaanites, Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites, Girgashites, Amorites, Jebusites. See, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you. Now then choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. And as soon as the priests who carry the ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap. So when the people broke camps across the Jordan, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Verse 15. Now the Jordan is at flood stage during all the harvest. Yet as soon as the priests who carried the Ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan, while the water flowing down to the Sea of Arabah, the Salt Sea, was completely cut off. So the people crossed over opposite Jericho. The priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on the dry ground in the middle of the Jordan, while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. It's an amazing account, isn't it, of how the Israelites, the younger generation, stepped into the promised land. Amen?
Amen?
So today, for the next few minutes, we're going to talk about how to go from wilderness to promise in our lives. How do we go from wilderness to God's promised land for our lives in the new covenant? Let's talk about the Ark of the Covenant for a few minutes. In Joshua chapter 3, there's mention of the Ark of the Covenant in verse 3. Gave orders to the people, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests who are Levites carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. The Ark of the Covenant was a sign and a token of what? In the Old Testament. The Ark of the Covenant was a sign and a token of God's presence. And what does it say here in verse 3? It says, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Where is the presence of God today in the New Covenant? In the New Testament? In the Old Testament, it was in the Holy of Holies. The Ark of the Covenant was a sign of God's presence. Where is God's presence today in the New Covenant? It's in us, and you, as you and me, as believers in Jesus Christ. If you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord, the Spirit of God took up residence on the inside of you. So that when you go about life, the presence of God is on the inside of you. It resides within you. And friends, I'm here to tell you today that we're to follow the leading of God's presence on the inside of us, just like the Israelites followed the presence of God, the Ark of the Covenant. Should I say it again? Just like the Israelites in Joshua chapter 3 followed the Ark of the Covenant, followed the presence of God, you and I in the New Testament need to follow the leading of God's presence, of God's Spirit in our lives. Remember, the Holy Spirit of God lives on the inside of you and me if we've accepted Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. And you know, God has got a promised land for you. You might be facing some major decisions in your life. God, should I take this step? Should I move to this city? Should I move to this apartment complex? Should I take this job? Should I come into a relationship with this person? And if the Spirit of God is saying, yes, this is the path I want you to go in, guess what? You'll have a peace on the inside. That peace on the inside is the presence of God telling you, yes, this is the step I want you to take. Now, if the presence of God, the Spirit of God, is saying no to you about a certain step, no, don't develop a relationship with this person. Don't move to that city. Don't get involved with that ministry. If God is saying no to a certain question in your life, guess what? You'll have no peace on the inside. You'll have a check. You see, the world calls it this. The world calls it following your gut. Anybody here ever hear that expression? You got to follow your gut. Amen?
Amen.
Let's say, for instance, hypothetically, let's say you've been in the wilderness of alcoholic addiction, and you're just about to step into the promised land of total victory over alcoholism. And let's say one day you happen to be with some friends at a restaurant, at a gathering, and maybe one of the people you're with has their glass filled up with wine. And you look at that wine and you're like, man, that sure looks good. Sure looks tasty. And you're wondering, should I have the person pour me a glass of wine? And all at once on the inside, you get this check, this uneasiness. Guess what? That's the Spirit of God. That is the Ark of the Covenant in the New Testament. If you were telling you no, don't even touch it. And you need to obey the Spirit of God speaking to your human spirit. What do you need to do at that point? You need to just get up and kindly dismiss yourself. Walk away from that setting. See, because God is wanting to bring you into that promised land of total victory over the addiction. But if you keep giving in to the addiction, guess what? You're going to keep wandering around in the wilderness of addiction. You might get weak at points. You might get weak at points concerning drugs or alcohol. When you get weak, pray to God and say, God, I can't do this on my own. And God will give you His supernatural empowerment to overcome that temptation. Amen?
Amen.
Why? Because the Spirit of God lives on the inside of you. You have got to follow the New Testament Ark of the Covenant. The presence of God, the Spirit of God, if you would. Just as the Israelites in Joshua chapter 3 followed the Ark of the Covenant into the Promised Land. Is that making sense tonight? You know, back in 99, I was sensing, let me give you some overview here in my life. I was living in my parents' home in Broken Arrow while I was doing my graduate degree at Oral Roberts University. And it was a garage room. It was really uncomfortable, but I lived with them for about 4 years and 9 months. And like 99, I started sensing that I needed to move out of their house and get my own place. So for about a year and a half, I had been looking for some real estate. I had been looking for homes and condominiums in Tulsa. Looking and looking and looking, nothing sat quite right with me. I started looking seriously in December of 2000. My real estate agent was bringing me around. And so one day he happened to bring me to this condominium where I live today. Brought me into it, and to me it was like a little house. It was real comfortable, cozy, and on the inside I just sensed a peace. Sensed as if God was saying, this is the place I want you at. And so I, through a process of negotiations, I ended up purchasing that condo. I'm still there today. I closed on it in late January of 2001, and it's one of the best decisions that I made. I had a room that I used to rent out for about 7 years. I made a little bit of income, and you know, the good thing about it is that I work on people's homes here in South Tulsa, and the place where I live now, the condo I live in now, is close to where we do a lot of our work on people's homes, within about 4 to 5 miles away from them. Where I lived before in Broken Arrow with my parents, it was a lot farther away. Not only that, but I've got highways close by to where I live. So I can pick up the highway real easily and get to downtown and minister to you guys on a consistent basis. That's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I was facing a major decision in my life back in late 2000. I was going through like a wilderness wandering experience. God, what should I do? What piece of real estate should I buy? And I allowed the Ark of the Covenant, if you would, the presence of God, the Spirit of God, to lead me to the right place. And it's one of the best decisions I ever made. I went from a wilderness wandering experience into the promised land of living in South Tulsa for this time in my life. And friends, if God did it for me, He can do it for you. The same Spirit of God that leads me with peace wants to lead you as well. And there's going to be certain areas in your life where you're going to need to get direction, like, should I begin a relationship with this person? Should I marry this person? Should I go to this school? Should I, you know, start this career? Should I take this job? should I live at this place? There's going to be some major intersections, decisions that need to be made in your life for you to step into God's promised land at that point, at that time in your life. And friends, you know, our human minds are limited. Our human minds can only see so far ahead. You might be thinking, man, this sounds like a good idea to move to this apartment community. This sounds like a good idea to take this job. This sounds like a good idea to be attending this church. But the question tonight is this: is it a God idea? Is it a God thing? I don't want to just do the good thing. I want to do the God thing. How about you? Then what do you have to do? Like the children of Israel in Joshua chapter 3, you have got to follow the presence, the spirit, the leading of God. If God is saying yes, you'll have peace on the inside. If God is saying no, that's not the way I want you to go, you will not have peace on the inside. Follow your human spirit. Follow the spirit of God speaking to your human spirit. Amen? Because the thing is this, you might be in a wilderness wandering experience right now, you know, wondering, what step should I take next? What step should I take next? Or maybe you don't know the step to take at all. And God is wanting to bring you into His promised land of abundance. But if you're not seeking out the Spirit of God, the presence of God, the leading of God, guess what? You may not step into the promised land of God's provision, abundance, and blessing for your life. But how many here want to step into God's promised land for their life? So say it with me tonight. I will follow the presence, the Spirit, the leading of God in my heart. Just like the children of Israel followed the Ark of the Covenant in Joshua 3. Amen. And this, he says this in Joshua 3, verse 5. Joshua told the people, "Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you." We serve an amazing God. We serve a God that does signs and wonders. We serve a God that does miracles in people's lives. And the miracle he did in Joshua chapter 3 was to bring them into the promised land. God is a God of signs and wonders. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He wants to do a miracle in your life. But as the Word of God says in verse 5 of Joshua 3, you must consecrate yourselves. What does it mean to consecrate yourself, friend? It means to set yourself apart from the sinful ways of the world and to set yourself apart unto God. In other words, don't soil your human spirit with the ways of the world, the way the world talks, the way the world thinks, because the Spirit of God lives on the inside of you. The Spirit of God on the inside of you does not need to be fellowshipping with the ways of the world. Amen?
Amen.
Because God is sinless. He is a holy God. Sin cannot stand in the presence of a righteous God.
Amen.
So as Joshua told the people in Joshua 3:5, it applies to us today. Let us consecrate ourselves. Let us set apart ourselves unto God and set ourselves apart from the ways of the world. We cannot be flirting with the world. You can't have one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom of God. You've got to have both feet in the kingdom of God.
Amen.
What did Jesus say in Matthew chapter 7, verses 12 through 14? He said, "Narrow is the way that leads to life, and only a few find it. But broad is the way that leads to destruction, eternal destruction, and many go that way." I wanna walk the path that leads to eternal life, the narrow path. How about you?
Amen.
If so, say amen.
Amen.
All right, so let us consecrate ourselves. Another way to go from the wilderness to the promise. Number two, understand this about the ark. The tablets of the covenant, according to Hebrews 9:4, were in the ark of the covenant. The tablets of the covenant, of the testimony, the tablets of the law were in the ark of the covenant. We don't call it the law today, right, that we follow? We're not following the law, right? For us, as believers in Jesus Christ and the new covenant, what do we call it? We call it the entire written word of God. Amen?
Amen.
See, God's written word can lead you into the promised land of God's provision. Let me say it again. God's written word can lead you into the promised land of God's provision for your life and my life. Just like the tablets of the testimony were stored up in the ark with the mercy seat over them, the word of God has got to be stored up on the inside of you and me. God wants to lead, guide, and direct you into the promised land if you've got the written word of God stored up on the inside of you.
Amen.
In order for the word of God to lead, guide, and direct you, the written word of God, what do you have to do with the word of God? In order for the written word of God to lead you, for you to follow it, what do you have to do with this written word of God called the Bible? Exactly, you've got to be reading it, not just once in a blue moon, not just once every 2 or 3 months. You've got to be reading the Word of God on a consistent basis.
Amen.
Some people say, well, I read the Word of God once, and I read it the next week, and then I read it 3 months later, and you know, I have read the Word of God at least once or twice in the last 6 months. Friends, that's not enough. You've got to be reading and meditating upon the Word of God on a consistent basis. The Word of God for us as New Testament believers is the tablets of the testimony in the New Testament, if you would. Amen?
Amen.
You got to store it up on the inside of you. For instance, you may be in the wilderness right now of financial lack. Never having enough money. You can't buy clothing. You can't buy food. You have no money for the bills. But if you got the Word of God stored up on the inside of you, the Word of God speaks to this wilderness experience. Let's see what Paul writes in 2 Thessalonians 3, verses 7 through 12. For instance, let's say you were needing more money to pay the bills, to buy the food, for the clothing. What does the Word of God say in 2 Corinthians 3? This is what he said. We were not idle when we were with you, Thessalonians, nor did we eat anyone's food without paying for it. On the contrary, we worked night and day, laboring and toiling, so that we would not be a burden to any of you. We did this not because we do not have the right to such help, but in order to make ourselves a model for you to follow. For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule. If a man will not work, he shall not eat. Say it with me. If a man will not work,
he shall not eat.
Verse 11. We hear that some of you are idle. They are not busy. They are busybodies. Such people we command and urge in the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and earn the bread that they eat. So as I said just a minute ago, you might be in the wilderness of financial lack today wondering, God, what must I do to go into the promised land of financial provision? And if you got the Word of God on the inside of you, 2 Thessalonians on the inside of you, God is saying what? Practice the good, listen to this, practice the good four-letter word. There's a bad four-letter word out there, right? But 2 Thessalonians 3 talks about the good four-letter word. What four-letter word is that? W-O-R-K. Good hard work isn't going to hurt anybody. It's going to help you be financially provided for. Amen? And the thing is this, not only to get a job and then to get a different job a month later and a different job after that 2 months later, but to get a job and to be diligent at the job that you do. Be faithful to your employer. If he tells you to come in at 9 o'clock, come in at 8:45. If he tells you to work until 4:30, work until 4:45. Be faithful to your employer, and guess what? God will promote you. He will bring you into the promised land of financial provision for your life.
Amen.
Straight from the Word of God, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Amen?
Amen.
We've got to follow the Word of God, friends, every single day. I had a young man working with me last year. For about a year and a half, he worked with me. One of the most reliable young men I've ever had work for my company. We work on people's homes in Tulsa, as I told you. And I tell him to show up at 9:15 in the morning. He'd normally show up at 9:05. His name is Brett, or 9:10. Always was early. Tell him to work until 4:30. He'd work until 5 o'clock. Reliable, consistent, diligent, faithful. So last year, back in early 09, I helped him start a lawn care business. And he ended up getting 17 lawns that he was cutting in Tulsa last year in 09. Guess what? This year, he's up to 35 and 40 lawns a week. He's making more money in the summer than some men that are much older than him. He's only 23 years old. God has promoted this young man. Why? Because he was faithful. He was diligent. He stuck to his word. And friends, you've got to be faithful. You've got to be diligent. You've got to stick to your word. Honor your employer. Serve your employer. And God will reward you. Your finances, I promise you, will increase. You can go from the pit to the palace of God's blessings for your life. Is that making sense tonight?
Amen.
Remember, the Ark of the Covenant in the Old Testament, Joshua 3, had in it the tablets of the law. We don't call it the tablets of the law today, right? We call it what? The entire written word of God. Just like the tablets of the law were inside the Ark of the Covenant, guess what? The entire written word of God has got to be on the inside of us. And it gets on the inside of us by doing what? By reading it and meditating upon it. And God will lead, guide, and direct you by the written word that's on the inside of you. Amen?
Amen.
And finally, about Joshua chapter 3. Who carried the Ark of the Covenant in Joshua chapter 3? The priests carried the Ark of the Covenant. So basically, if you're facing a question in life, a major decision in life that would bring you from the wilderness to the promise, guess what? You can go to the modern day priest, if you would, a minister, maybe your pastor, maybe the chaplain here at John 3:16, and just share your situation with that person. This is what I'm going through. I want to go to another level in my life. What do I need to do? And God can speak through the modern day priest and give you guidance and direction. Amen?
Amen.
Say it with me tonight. I want to go from the wilderness to God's promised land of provision and blessing
in my life.
In Jesus' name. Amen. And just to briefly recap it, what do we have to do? We have to follow the presence of God, the Spirit of God, the leading of God.
Amen.
Number two, we've got to read the Word of God and let it guide us. Meditate on the Word of God, the whole written Word of God. And number three, talk to a modern-day priest if you need to. And God is sure to bring about the miracle breakthrough in your life. Amen?
Amen.
God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good.